Hey, today's the first week of Advent, it's December 1st. The first week of Advent, the four Sundays before Christmas, where we focus every year on what this season is all about. It's about Jesus. It's so easy to let other things creep in and to take the place of the real meaning for this season, and that is Jesus. And so we observe these Advent weeks, this Advent season. And so we're going to launch into an Advent series that's going to last 4 weeks, and it's going to culminate on Christmas Eve, because every Christmas Eve we gather together as a church family. We're going to be right here in this room on December 24th at 5 p.m. I encourage everyone to come. Bring your family. It's great for the kids. It's very interactive. And what better way to launch in Christmas Eve than to be together singing, rejoicing, and thanking Jesus. So anyway, we're launching into the Advent season right now. And the title of this Advent season series and focus is The Cast of Christmas. And if you notice, we have a play that's going to be going on, Ebenezer, an outreach opportunity in play. And so kind of we're jumping on board with that theme for this Advent season with this cast of Christmas, as we're going to be looking at the different players, the cast that played a role in the first Christmas. We're going to be looking at the anticipation of the prophets, the joyful proclamation of the angels. We're going to look at the journey of the shepherds and the wise men, the magi. And all of this is going to help us fit together how we will prepare and celebrate for Christmas right now. I really believe, and my prayer is that as we go through this Advent season, that it's going to draw us closer and closer, more and more into Christ, more and more into our focus being on Jesus and not on all the other noise that's out there. And there's a whole lot of noise. We all play a part in this incredible story. Do you know that? You play a role. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to save us, to rescue us. And now we have a role. We've been invited in and become part of this story. The first members of our cast of Christmas are the prophets. So the title of today's message, the first Advent message, is Prepare and Expect. This is going to be a lesson from the prophets. Prepare and expect. Point number one is expect a delivery. How many of you started Christmas shopping already? Nobody wants to admit it. I mean, come on. It's okay to admit it. You've already started. How many of you participated in Black Friday? Went crazy, got up early. All right, not many people. I don't blame you. I didn't either. How many of you are going to do Cyber Monday tomorrow? You know, yeah, more hands go up. I agree. I might do a little bit of that myself. But hey, we have officially 24 more days of shopping before Christmas. So pace yourself, but don't worry. You can shop day or night, again, online stuff. I read a statistic. UPS is going to make over 750 million deliveries this Christmas season. 750 million deliveries. And here's another thing. For about $50 a month, you can sign up a loved one for the Bacon of the Month Club. $50 a month. That's not cheap. I mean, if you can do 12 months, right? But $50 a month, I mean, you can make someone happy. And every month, you're going to get 2 1-pound selections of specialty bacon delivered right to your loved one. Every single month, they're going to have a smile on their face, and they're going to remember how much you love them. And I think this is going to go over really well in America. We were just in Israel. This would not go well in Israel. You know, this Bacon of the Month Club. But here in America, we have a little more liberty and freedom in Christ Jesus, right? Amen. Come on now, bacon it up this Christmas season. But let's get back to Advent. Christmas. It's a time of waiting. It's a time of expecting. It's a time of preparing. And as we prepare and wait, it really occurs to me that a vast majority of our lives is really about waiting and preparing. Only a fraction of our lives is actually experiencing things, and actually celebrating or doing stuff. Most of our time on this earth is really waiting and preparing. Think about Thanksgiving meal. Many of you just had an amazing Thanksgiving meal. How much time did it take to prepare that meal? Yeah, like a day or more, right? How much time did it take you to eat it? Mark, I'm looking at you. How much time did it take you to eat that meal? 5 minutes, exactly. A lot more preparing than actually doing and enjoying and eating. So if we stop to think about it, again, there's so much more preparation and waiting. Oh, did you? Oh, my picture is up here, okay. So this is, what an awesome meal. Check out these cute little things that look like pumpkins. I mean, that's so cute, honey. I thought that was really a great touch. And I did have seconds, don't judge me. And I did have seconds on dessert too. So, awesome. How many of you had seconds? Awesome, all right, okay. Could it be in our lives that preparation is actually really the point of our lives? Preparation and waiting is the point of our lives. As we prepare for eternity, could it be more important our preparing than our doing even right now? I believe it is more important. In fact, the primary purpose, as you look at most of the pages of the Old Testament here, of the Bible, the Old Testament, the primary purpose of the Old Testament was what? It's about preparation for one moment. The Old Testament is preparation for one moment. What was that moment? It was the moment the Messiah would come and step down and walk on this earth and bring the kingdom of God. From the moment of the first sin that we read about in Genesis onward throughout the entire Old Testament, it's all about preparing us and pointing us to what? The moment when our Savior Messiah comes to free us from the curse of sin. Preparation, waiting, expectation. That's what this season is all about. Not jumping on the crazy, you know, train and rat race of buying stuff and consuming stuff and showing up at places and all that kind of stuff. It's about preparing and waiting for the Messiah, for Jesus. So in the Old Testament, that's what they did. The law and all the temple sacrifices, it was all about what? Showing their need for a Savior and preparing themselves for the Messiah. Then you look at the slavery, the sorrow of the Israelites that was all about pointing them that the bondage that they were in, reminding them of the bondage that they were in and their need for someone to rescue them and save them. The prophets throughout the Old Testament were looking, longing for, and pointing the people of God to the coming of the Messiah. 700 years before Jesus showed up, the prophet Micah had a prophetic word for the people of God. We can read about it in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, from ancient times." You know, the one that Micah is speaking of and prophesying of has over 100 names throughout the Bible. Different names. He's called the Alpha, the Omega. You know, the beginning and the end. The Lion, the Lamb of Judah. He's the Word of Life. He's the bright morning star. He's the light of the world. He's I Am. He is King. He is Lord. He's the Ancient of Days. We call him right now Jesus. Yeshua is his name over in Israel. The entire Old Testament pointing towards the coming of the Son of God, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And now we understand that when Jesus arrived, maybe it wasn't in the way that everybody was expecting. He came humbly. He came quietly. He showed up in a backwater, forgotten town called Bethlehem. You know, what's crazy, you go over to Israel and Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, is in the West Bank. I mean, you have to go through security, past a massive wall, get permission to even go into and enter the West Bank and enter Bethlehem. It's crazy what happens over time. It's a great reminder of the need for Christ to return. There's so much brokenness and craziness in the world today. Things just aren't right. But Jesus showed up in this place called Bethlehem. It really was a backwater, dinky little place. Met some new friends from Southern Illinois, McLeansboro, I think is what they said. And they're like, oh, I'm going to ask them where they're from, Southern Illinois. And I'm like, I'm from Southern Illinois. Nobody thinks anybody else is from Southern Illinois because it's just like, it's dinky out there. Is somebody else from Southern Illinois? But McLeansboro, small little community. You know, place I grew up, Mount Vernon, small little community. Bethlehem, even smaller than that, insignificant. Jesus shows up there. He didn't have a proper place. They weren't even ready for him. They didn't even have a room for him. The king is coming, man. There was no place, no room for him. All this prophecy about him coming, and they're not ready for him. They're all busy with life, thinking about other stuff. But even in the way that Jesus came, let's not be confused. Who he is, Jesus, he's the uncreated one. Jesus is the ancient one. He's the author and the giver of life. He is the Messiah. He is who every single human being that has ever walked and will ever walk on this earth needs. He's the giver of life. He's the one who rescues and saves. Hundreds of years the Israelites were looking for him. All throughout the Old Testament, they were looking, they were waiting for his rescue. And now it's Advent. 2,000 years after he was here. And as the prophets awaited his arrival way back in the day, we await his arrival. See, they waited for him to come the first time. We wait for him to return, to come back, because there's prophecy that says he is returning and he is coming back. And let me remind us of this. He's coming back, and it's going to be a little bit of a different scene as we're talking about the cast of Christmas, and we have the play and all of that, the scenes of life that we see throughout Scripture. The scene when he returns is going to be a lot different. It's not going to be quiet. It's not going to be hidden. People will not miss it. Everyone will see, for he's coming on the clouds. He's riding on a white horse. He is coming with a lot of shock and awe. Every eye will see, and every tongue, as Scripture says, will confess, and every knee will bow, for he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So as the prophets of old were waiting and preparing, so we wait and prepare now for his return. We don't know when, but he's coming back. We prepare our hearts to receive and to grow in him now as we anticipate to meet him face to face. He may tarry longer. He may come this afternoon. It might be a year, maybe 10, maybe 50 years from now. But here's the reality. Every one of us in this room, we are in our own last days. He's either coming, and you're going to be taken up with him, following those who were resurrected from the grave and meet him in the clouds. Amen. Or you're going to see him face to face as you die. How about that? Either way, we're in our last days. So either way, we're in a state of preparing and expecting. And the preparing and expecting is not a drag. It's not something that we just kind of do because we have to do. It's something because we know Jesus and he's made us new and alive. He's rescued us from death. He delivered us from sin. He has blessed us with his very presence and his spirit within us. We look forward with great anticipation and excitement. We're excited to be preparing. And we're excited for his return. You know, I'm just going to jump off on something here. You know, it's interesting. You'll talk to people and you're like, yeah, I want Jesus to come back. But I really want to get married first, and I want to have kids first. I want him to wait for that. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, married and having kids, that's all great. Well, not all great, but it's great. No, anyway, it's great. It's a blessing. But
Every parent in here is laughing right now. They know, they know. It's a blessing, right? But check this out. Who cares about any of that? And I'm not trying to diminish any of these things. But really, in the light of Christ Jesus showing up and us seeing him face to face and his glory coming in, and I mean, there's nothing that compares, people. I mean, there's nothing that compares. Not even close. Not even close. And so we prepare and we wait. Are you prepared, by the way? Are you preparing? Come on, let's wake up here a little bit this morning. Are you preparing? Amen. My parents are in town. Say hi to Scott and Nancy. So they showed up on Monday, and we got back from Israel, you know, Saturday at midnight. And so we had a day, but we spent our day preparing. We were excited for them to show up. And so we were getting ready, preparing with great expectation. Y'all are awesome, but Jesus is awesomer. I know that's not a word, but it's one my kids would use. My younger kids. Well, maybe not anymore. Let's get to point number two. Preparation begins with repentance. Preparation begins with repentance. I love that word, by the way, repentance. How many of you love the word repentance? All right, we got a couple hands, a few hands up. All right. I love the word repentance. It's not a four-letter word, by the way. Literally, it's not. It's a great word. Repentance is a word of freedom. Repentance is a word of victory. Repentance is a word of life. Repentance should bring joy to our spirits every time we think of it and interact with it. And we should be thanking God for this gift of repentance. There was a guy, the last prophet really, who showed up on this earth before Jesus arrived was John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he was a wild prophet, man, but he was what's called the forerunner of Jesus, a fiery forerunner of Jesus. Don Shrine's our fiery elder here at Evident Life Church. John the Baptist was a fiery last prophet before Christ stepped foot on this earth. And John the Baptist was teaching us his life, his message, his sermons, was teaching the world how to prepare our hearts for Jesus and how to prepare our lives for his return. Just check out these three passages in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3 verse 2. John the Baptist, that fiery last prophet before Christ stepped on this earth, said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." He says in verse 8, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." In verse 11 of Matthew 3, John the Baptist says, "I baptize you with water for what? Repentance." Waiting and preparing for Christ is an act of repentance. I mean, you really want to live a repentant life. Live a life of preparing yourself, preparing to see Jesus face to face. Live a life of expecting him to show up right in front of you now, today. That will lead you into a life of repentance. Because when you live preparing for Jesus to show up, you're going to think differently. And that's really what repentance is. It's thinking differently. You're going to process the importance of different things in your life a lot differently. You're going to organize your days a lot differently. You're going to act differently as a result. You're going to be living a lifestyle of repentance as you're living a life that has Jesus first and foremost on your heart and your mind. I am preparing to see my Savior face to face. I'm getting ready for Jesus. You will be walking into a lifestyle of repentance. You'll change your approach. You'll change the way you think about things. And you know, a lot of us need to do that. We need to look at things differently. And we're missing out on a lot of things, a lot of things that God has for us because we haven't looked at things differently. We need to look at things this way. You know, we just got through with our first part of our fairly going to be lengthy study of the Sermon on the Mount. We just got through the Beatitudes last week. And we start to see the worldview of Jesus, how Jesus processes life. We need to approach life that way. Let me tell you about a guy named Harvey. This guy named Harvey walked into a hardware store to buy a chainsaw.
He wanted to get some things done in his life. So he walked up to the clerk. He said, I want a saw that's going to cut down about 10 trees every hour, good-sized trees. I got a lot of cutting to do. Well, he bought the chainsaw, but the next day, Harvey shows back up at the hardware store pretty upset, not very happy. And he said, hey, this chainsaw that you sold me only cut down one little tree in an hour, just a little one. The clerk said, man, let me take a look at this. That surprises me. So the clerk grabs a chainsaw, he picks it up, he grabs a starter rope and he pulls it, and boom, that thing starts up. Starts making all kinds of beautiful noise. If you're a man, you know that noise and you love it. It's a beautiful noise. And then you're about to get some stuff done, right? And Harvey looked at it in wonder. And he said, what's that noise? You see, Harvey he had something he wanted to get done, and he had the tools to get it done, but he wasn't looking at it the right way. He wasn't approaching this amazing tool in the right way. And so many of us, we have all we need in Christ Jesus for life and godliness and to be preparing and waiting for him, but we have to approach it the right way. Grab that starter rope, man, and pull it. And let's cut down some trees. Let's make some room for the King to come in our lives. Thinking differently. Is this Christmas going to be like the rest for y'all? You know what? It's really easy, though, to allow it to be. You can just get right into your old habits and just kind of, get right into the busyness and craziness of life. Let's not let that happen this year. Let's not be those people who are ruled by the craziness that has become Christmas in our culture. Let's be those that have our hearts, our minds fixed on the purpose and the meaning, Jesus. So it's repentance. This guy, some of you may have heard of him before, became a king. He wrote these words, Psalm 51:17. He says, a broken and contrite heart, you, O God, will not despise. A humble heart, a repentant heart, one that's focused on him, it's making room for him in our life. He won't despise, he won't disappoint, he won't ignore you. He'll show up. I want to make sure that we remember that we have a need this Christmas season, but it's not a need for more stuff. We have a desperate need, and our desperate need is a need for redemption. It's a need for forgiveness of sin. We need Jesus to cleanse us, to save us. And not just us, but there's a whole world out there who needs him. You know, I want to jump right into the final point this morning, which is point number 5. So you're going to miss out on points 3 and 4. We'll put them up on the screen, though, for you here. You can write them down and study and look about how preparation increases with expectation. I mean, the more excited and expectant, the closer it gets to somebody showing up, the more preparation happens and is fueled, right? Preparation brings fruit. There's fruit that comes. There's good stuff that comes as we prepare. But I want to jump right into point number 5, and that's the expected rescue. John 3:17, which is right after John 3:16. You all know that, right? You get that? 16, 17, for God so loved the world, right? But John 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son Jesus into the world to save the world through him. Jesus came on a rescue mission. Y'all have heard that before. But we need to be reminded of that. It's a rescue mission, which means that we needed to be rescued. Desperate for him. Rescue was of utmost importance. The promise that Micah, that prophet, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Malachi, all the other prophets of the Old Testament, the promise that they clung to is that they would be rescued. So it's important to remember that we are in need of rescue. But it's also important to remember that the preparation, all the preparation that we do as we're preparing ourselves, as we're cooperating with the work of Christ in our lives, all that preparation is not what saves us. We prepare for Christ to come, but we'll bring that up in just a second, that next picture. Just hold off on that. The preparation doesn't save us. Rather, the preparation is our response to the reality that our Messiah already has saved us and that he's coming back to see us and to spend eternity with us. That's why we prepare. All right, next picture. Captain Phillips. Y'all remember that movie? Anybody see that movie back in 2013? Captain Phillips, starring Tom Hanks. How many of you have seen, what's the name of that show that we just watched? A Beautiful Day in Our Neighborhood. How many of you have seen that, by the way? That's a great show. I don't recommend shows too often. Most I wouldn't, but I would recommend going to that. There is an amazing good message in there, and it's a good show. I don't remember this show well enough to tell you to go see it, so just listen to what I'm saying about it right now. Anyway, Captain Phillips, 2013, Tom Hanks. This is based on a true story of a guy named Captain Phillips who was captured, if you will, by Somali pirates. His whole shipping, cargo shipping, boat, ship, was captured by Somali pirates. And so Captain Phillips finally convinced these pirates to let his ship and his crew go. Okay, he convinced them, just take me back to your headquarters, if you will, and use me as ransom. How many of you would be willing to do that? I hope so. That's what men do, right? That's what we do. That's what Christ did for us. So he convinced them of doing that. Well, they're on their way in this lifeboat vessel back to Somalia. And what happens? Who shows up? The USS Bainbridge shows up. It's a naval vessel that comes with its lights on, its horns blaring loud, illuminating the ocean and the lifeboat, and relief comes, salvation, if you will, comes for Captain Phillips. He's rescued. And so there's this USS Bainbridge. I want to focus on that for a little bit because we know the guy's rescued because all the movies have to end happy. So it all ends happy. But this USS Bainbridge is one of 46 guided missile destroyers in the U.S. Navy. And these guided missile destroyers can take out 100 targets simultaneously. That's no joke. That's some serious firepower. And when the Bainbridge comes to your rescue, you know that the pirates are in trouble and that it's a good day for you. Salvation has come. Rescue has come. And when you watch this film, you realize that you never, ever, ever want to be on the wrong side of the U.S. Navy. Can I get an amen, Wayne and Tanya Mihailo? They were in the Navy, right? Amen. Still don't want to mess with them, especially Wayne. Anyway, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the United States Navy. And one thing I hope that we understand also is this, is that, you know, Christmas can be a tender time, away in a manger. Silent night and all of that. But let's remember that it was a powerful rescue mission. As amazing and powerful as the USS Bainbridge was to come and rescue Captain Phillips, Jesus, the Son of God, stepped down from heaven with all power and all might, calling down at any time it needed the angels of heaven, the armies of heaven. He came and he rescued mankind. There's no one that outclasses our Savior and our Rescuer. He's never outgunned. He's never outclassed or outmanned. He's not a hopeless underdog, and neither are we. Amen. Jesus has come to rescue us, the one with all power and all authority. And so this Advent season, I want to say a few things, and I hope that you can say these things and come into agreement with me on these. This Advent season, I'm not expecting. I'm not expecting to be all stressed out and to be overwhelmed. That's not my expectation this Christmas season. I'm not expecting things to fall apart, for Costco to sell out of their pies. Boy, that would be tragic, by the way. They will not. I'll speak it right now. They will have plenty of pies for all of us. I'm not preparing to be defeated this Christmas or any day. Instead, I am expecting for God to come through for you and me. That's what I'm waiting for. That's what I know. That's what I'm expecting. I am expecting for Jesus to be revealed in and through our lives in a special, powerful way this Christmas. In fact, let me say this. I would love for all of us to be approaching this Christmas season, especially as you're interacting with family and loved ones and maybe seeing some people that you don't see all the time, getting together with friends and having Christmas parties and stuff. I would hope that instead of being all concerned about which white elephant gift you're going to get, man, would you prepare your heart and listen to the Lord for a word that He wants you to share with somebody this Christmas season? Would you wait expectantly for God to give you something straight from His heart that you can release into somebody else's life this Christmas? You want to talk about a gift? A word from the Lord is a gift. I've seen so many people just weep as they encounter that touch from God that comes through a brother or a sister in Christ. I'm waiting expectantly, knowing that the Son of God who came 2,000 years ago is not only returning, but He is working in my life, He's working in your life, preparing us and perfecting us, sanctifying us for His return and for an eternity to be spent with Him. That's what I'm waiting expectantly for. I'm waiting expectantly for the plans of God, the plans that He has for you, the plans He has for me, the plans that He has for Evident Life Church to not just kind of happen, but to flourish. I hope you know that God has plans for your life. He has assignments for you. He has assignments for this church. We're here for such a time as this. The Lord's been rolling things out to me for the coming year, for 2020, giving some 2020 vision about where we're going. It's going to be an exciting year. I just look forward to sharing some of the things that the Lord's been speaking to this church and over this church for this next season. I mean, we're going to interact with our culture and our community at a whole nother level. We've already been a church that's outperforming our resources. We've already been a church that's having all kinds of touch points in our culture today, but the Lord is highlighting strategies to take it to a whole nother level. And so I'm waiting expectantly for what God's going to do. You know, sometimes we can look at life and we can look at the future from this pessimistic perspective, like the world's going to hell in a handbasket and this is going to get worse, 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 and then Jesus is going to show up and we just got to hold on and survive. I'm like, No, I'm called salt and light. I'm called salt and light. I'm called an ambassador of Christ Jesus. Scripture says that I'm going to be doing the things Christ did and even greater things. I mean, this we got to look at what's God's word saying. You know, in the last days, it says in Joel, it's repeated in the New Testament, that the kids, the young people, the young followers of Jesus, man, that prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit are going to increase, not decrease. The church isn't dying. The church isn't dying. Christ is, He's working. Anyway. I'm waiting expectantly for God's kingdom to advance and for us to be part of it, for the lost to be found, for His love to be made known. There are so many people out there that are hurting, man. We are living in a hurting, broken world. It's always been that way. Apart from Christ, it is broken. It is just brutal. The world is brutal, and people need what we have. And so I'm waiting expectantly this Christmas season for testimonies of how the Lord has been revealed into the lives of the broken, because this church was prepared and waiting and expectant for the Lord to move through us. That's what I'm looking forward to. And of course, I'm waiting expectantly for the return of our Lord and Savior to come to claim his bride, his church, to dwell with us now and for all eternity. Are you all ready for that?
Yes.
Are you expectant this Advent season?
Yes.
You know, I pray that you would even go home tonight and you would calibrate your thinking. You would go through that little bit of that repentance even tonight. Maybe tonight around the table, honey, let's maybe do this tonight around the table. Maybe spend some time just going around the table and talking with one another about how you can prepare, how you can wait, what your focus can be this Christmas season. And just pray into that as a couple, as a family. Get together with some people. Pray into that, preparing and waiting for Christ to come back.